we're in resisting the enemy, number two. And if we get to it, we'll get to the belt of truth, our first piece of equipment, or part of the uniform, I guess you could say. And the children can be dismissed, unless they want to hang around. I doubt it. That's Ephesians 6:13. And before we get started, let's just take a moment of silent prayer. And that, for us, that means we can acknowledge our sins before God the Father, and we can get in that harmony that we know is fellowship, and also the filling of the Holy Spirit, which we can learn and grow and also apply the Word. So, very important thing, and let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the ability to learn your plan for our lives. It's a huge endeavor, and we love doing it, so we're grateful that it's unending. And we thank you for loving us in the way you do, and watching out for us, and just preserving us long enough to fulfill your plan. And we know that your timing is always correct, and we just pray that we can see more of that today, and we can learn about it and learn about ourselves and learn how to just live your plan for our lives. We thank you for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, last time we actually got into verse 13, so let me start reading from verse 12 just to kind of refresh us here. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13. "Because of this, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." So you see, I underlined a couple words here, and we actually talked about take up there in green, and that meant so that we are able. Remember, we've got to first take up so that we can have that ability, so that we can be able to walk in God's power and to resist, basically, is what these verses are telling us. And so, and all that meant for us was we have to be in a position to be conditioned on following the command that we see here to take up the full armor of God. I will say that this group of verses is directed towards not an immature believer. I really feel this is directed toward at least the consistent growing believer, for sure, and more so the mature believer. You know, when we're talking about a battle or any kind of fight, and we're specifically talking about winning, and when you put that in the spiritual realm, it puts it in a different perspective, especially for us that that want to be used by God in ways that glorifies Him. And that's an important thing for us, and we want to win, and we want to do things that are right. And that takes consistency. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today, but definitely not for the weak believer in order to just be thrown out in warfare and try to defend himself against Satan and evil. We know how big of a topic it is. We know how powerful Satan is. And we surely know that we can't do this on our own. And I think that's the key in this whole discussion in this topic, is we can't do it on our own. It's funny, as you know, when we're new believers, young believers, we kind of tend to think we can do a lot of things, but we can't. And we'll, you know, we may try that for a while, but that's really a mental process on what we can, what we can't do, how much we lean on God, how much we decide not to and kind of take it on our own. And that looks like a lot of different things, but You know, it could be something as simple as worrying. You know, you can't be effective in warfare when you're out of fellowship in Satan's realm with something as simple as worry. That's why this is important, because you can't do it on your own. But in order to understand that and to have that worry or whatever anxiety go away, there's got to be that understanding, that logic in your own mind of who and what God is and how you can apply that to your life specifically. And that's the part where the growth aspect comes in, the understanding, the faith, you know, how strong is our faith, and that, you know, that should be progressive as well, right? So all these things kind of go together with that upward growth pattern, which is what we want, because that's what we love to do. And this is also when I emphasize the importance of the individual Christian responsibility. Remember the take up? That was that command. And I focused on the responsibility that we can choose to follow the commands. And that makes sense, because before we can expect any benefit in our lives at all, we have to associate that with following closely to the Word. You know, a lot of people want results. They want to see fast results. They want to see prosperity. They want to see blessings. They want to see all these problems solved in the life. But it all goes back to this. If we're not close in the Word, if we're not secure in our relationship and consistent to where it's nothing necessarily new to us to go to church or hear the Word, that's where we want to be, because that consistency is what solves problems. That's what allows us to apply and think differently and to be able to handle the blessings that God is waiting to give you. So it all goes back to sticking close to the Word and continuing your intake on these things. We just can't expect without, you know, something to fill our souls. That's just progress, success in the spiritual life. So, and this idea behind, I think, these group of verses is also obedience, right? We know about obedience. We're Christians. We know there's an ultimate authority. And that's kind of the struggle with human nature is how do I get under this authority, and how obedient am I going to be? Am I just going to be obedient for this day or this few hours? Or, you know, do we make that entire all day as much as we can? So obedience is big, and we just all have to learn humility. Of course, is a big part of that, right? Humility, as we'll see more of that today. And that's the interesting part about this, is not only does it depend on us, but He doesn't want us to think that it does, and He wants us to be completely out of His way. I know this seems to be very individual specific, focused on the Christian, and it is. You do have a responsibility. You do have to make decisions. But at the same time, remember who's fighting for you. Who is the reason for the season type of deal? Is that's where we're at. So, you know, you have to ask sometimes, or question yourself, is it worth swallowing our pride to be obedient? And of course it is. There's no doubt about that. And that should be on our mind at all time. And if we ever want that divine guidance in our life, God to grab us and take us and move us, you know, there's those things where you say, wow, that was God. That was very serious, moving me to a different direction. If we ever want that, we've got to be obedient. You know, you aren't guided. God isn't going to force you. He realizes we're not robots, and He realizes we have a volition, and He wants to lead you, but we've got to allow Him to lead us. And it's no different in this warfare, in walking out on the battlefield. So, because He'll let you guide yourself. He'll let you show up without a belt. He'll let you show up without a sword, without a shield. He'll let you do all these things, because we do have that volitional aspect that we have to keep in mind here. And then we saw the purpose. You see the purpose? So that, there's your purpose. Why do we take up the full armor? To resist. To be able to resist. And we talked about this word, but remember what it means? Because we need this kind of thinking, being that we are dealing with an eternal enemy who hates you and what you stand for, and who hates God and His Word. So I think it's a good word to remember. It literally means to stand against or to set against. This is a mental. This is your values. This is your spiritual morality. This is your virtue that completely stands against what Satan thinks. Remember, that's where that conviction came in. This is how you live your life, why you live it, and the fact that you are convicted and even confident on why you do the things you do, because it's all rooted in the Word of God. And so that's that 180 degrees standing against. When we talk about walking out in the world, on the, that's the battlefield. So do we give in? Do we relax our standards? Do we, you know, there's a lot of things that go are involved in having a stand against mentally in your mind against evil and Satan. So resist mentally, set against. We should all have that. And I think that's a building process too, isn't it? The black and white becomes more black and white. The gray becomes less, and we can see things a lot clearer and understand why we do things. Well, why do we feel a certain way? Why do we have, why are we so, you know, we just know something's not right. You know, I know that's not right. Why are they doing that? Because it's just not right. It doesn't seem, maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's not just. Maybe it's illegal. But something in your brain tells you that something is not right. And do we relax our standards just because of something else in the world that is testing us to relax those standards? No, we don't. We don't relax our standards because we don't want to fall into that trap. That's Satan's area. Remember, if he can get us to lead us into that gray area where we have to make another decision, well, maybe it's not that bad. Well, everyone else is doing it. How many times have you heard that from your son or daughter? Everyone else is doing it. That's where it starts, right? Does that make it right? Well, in their eyes, it does. Right? In their eyes, it does, because they may not have the understanding that you do, the parent does, to know that it's not something you stand for. It's not something you're convicted in the opposite direction. And you know that that is coming from a place that's not rooted in the Word of God. So that's where we want to be. We want to know. We want to be convicted. And we want to grow because we want to be dead set in that stance the further we grow, right? We want to be, that's where the confidence comes in. That's where your confidence as a Christian comes in just living day to day, making decisions, talking with people, having meetings with people. Maybe you have to have meetings at work. You know, these things, these issues come into play when you're, even when you're making business decisions, right? You know, do we shave off something here to, you know, save some money here? Well, in your brain, these little morality lights are kicking off. The black and the white, the gray. Where are they treading here? Where are they going? A lot of people can't see these things, believe it or not. They all seem like good ideas because some high-ranking person had the idea and they know what they're talking about and I trust them. Well, that isn't always the case, right? Especially if they're not rooted in what we're talking about right here in the Scripture. Satan works on people in authority, probably more so than anyone else, because that's where the influence is. So we've got to know also where our influence is and where it comes from and where we stand. That's just your attitude about, really about your identification in Christ. It's kind of what that's where we identify. That's where we're coming from. So that's our conviction as Christians, to stand for what we believe in and not be weak or budge from the truth of God's Word. I didn't say be willing to not budge from maybe traditions or religious convictions, because those can also lead you into a place you may not want to go. We see that, right? We see that in our lives that, you know, I think there's something about us that we're all brought up with something that we drag up with us. We do. And we hold on to that for a very long time. And what we do with that is not only do we hold on to it, but we kind of put it on a filter. It goes through that filter of how we hear, how we read scripture, how we interpret, how we translate. I mean, this gets deep. Can you imagine if you have a seminary professor with a pretty heavy filter there? That teaching is going to come through that filter of tradition and religion, but not necessarily in the Word of God. Well, we've got an issue there because God didn't create religion. Remember? That was man. So we've got to make a distinction between the Word and not bringing our filter in, our human filter, man-made filter, even our sinful filter, right? We want to work for everything. We want to gain everything. That's that man-made filter. That's not a grace filter. God gives freely, not based on what I or you do. That's the grace aspect of... So just be careful about your filters and know that the blueprint for us is always the Bible. And that's where how we live our spiritual life. And don't forget, as we were going through here, Paul is using military terminology. That was important, right? That was a big deal. Because he says to strongly resist an opponent is what the word meant here. That's what the word resist here meant, to strongly resist an opponent in the military term. That's where it comes from. So, and I like that word, strongly resist, because it reminds me of the strength that we gain when we are consistent and steady in our spiritual growth. So he has every right to say strongly resist because he knows what you have available to you. He knows what he's telling us, about to tell us that we should have on, should be wearing, should be protected with. It's like, you know, we're going in there with, you know, force field around you. That's why he can say strongly in this word. You know, but that's kind of something that goes back to that conviction and consistency, steadiness in your spiritual growth. And it reminded me how is any profession or professional good at what they do? In our minds, think about this. We always think, oh, they're natural at it. It came easy for them. They do it, just, you know, they picked it up. They've been doing it since they were a child. A lot of times it's just the opposite. They worked every day, hard workers. They stuck with it. They got to where they are, not because it was given to them, not because it was natural, it was in their blood, it was something that, no. A lot of times it's just the complete opposite. I think the same way, right? Because we do meet people like that, that are good at something and good at this. But that doesn't happen a lot in the business world, in the real world. Maybe in sports from time to time, but guess what? Even those guys in sports that are made for it, they're practicing every day. So it's not really an accident. It's just they may have a propensity in that direction, right? To play a sport, but it still takes the hard work. You see a person that's really good and they're 9 years old, guess what? Their dad's working with them every day. That's what's happening. It's not like it's an accident, and you can see that. I can see, man, I need to get a move on it here. You know, wow, that kid's good. Basketball, you see all the, you know, some of those kids, man, those kids are good, you know? You can tell the ones that play the sport every day. So it's really no different for us in the spiritual life. It's no different. It's the exact same analogy. We've got to train. We have to grow. We have to. But everybody looks at from the outside and they see, you know, oh, that just came easy. That's just because they did this, did that. No, it takes every day. It's not something that just comes to us and we all of a sudden we can apply and we can, you know, we're growing and we're blessed and all that. That's the complete opposite. If you've ever been in any adversity in your life, you should know. Testing, Christian testing, I mean, it's not all necessarily, you know, fun and games, I guess you could say. It's real life. And we have to realize that it takes that dedication, that consistency. And, you know, we do have a Father, and He does want to train us every day, but at the same time, we got to walk out the door. If He tells us to come out and play pass, we got to at least go outside and say, okay. You know, we've all been there where they say, no, I don't want to play. Seriously? You know, you ask me every day, and now you don't want to play. But God wants us to practice every day. Every day. And He desires us to play. He wants to train with us. He wants to show us. He wants to lead us. Because He wants us to be that good player or that good soldier. Right? It's just like even in the military. Why do guys... why are certain jobs made to do certain things and roles that are jobs are you know more important and they seem to have all the fun? Because they train more than other people. More is expected from, let's say, you know, a Navy SEAL or a Ranger or anything else than an E1 that just got in the military. There's a lot more training that goes in there. There's a lot more responsibility that's put on them. It's not like you're watching G.I. Jane and, you know, they just get thrown in a movie and that's how it is. It's not like that. Those guys go through hard work just like you have to go through hard work. We all have to put the time in. We all have to put the training in because we want to get good. We want to be efficient and we want to know, what's my equipment that I have to work with? Because remember, you all have personalities. God works with everyone individually. You all have roles, jobs, and we want to get good at those. Good at those. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about, you know, how God uses us. And that's part of this, the mission, right? We want God, we want to be able to fight in these things if we're going to be any kind of useful to God. So strongly resist. So don't think you're natural or it was, it's somehow you can do, you know, once a week and it all comes to you. It's not that way. It takes consistency. So, and the only reason I brought all that up in the kind of the human understanding, the human realm is because just to show you that if we ever want to tap into spiritual maturity or being successful, as we could call in the Christian life, that's what it requires. That's why. There's so many people that want it but don't really want it. You know, there's a difference there. I think there's a difference, and you can see that even from athletes. Yeah, everybody wants that, but do they really want it? Well, I'm not saying that may not be God's path for their life, right? I mean, needs go out. There's things that God redirects, right? But I'm saying everybody wants something that's good. But it's a different story. What does it take to get there? There's an end goal there. We have to say, okay, this is what I want. That's up to you. It goes back to that conviction. Will you fail? Of course. You will fail. That's part of the deal. You will fail. That's part of it, no doubt. But it doesn't mean that we should let up. And this is why, this is exactly why Satan hates consistency and repetition in your life. Remember, I mentioned that. He doesn't like you on the practice field because he knows that you'll be that player that he sees dribbling, running, shooting, stealing the ball, even helping the other players because he has a situational awareness of the game. He knows what players are supposed to do what. That's what we want to be in the Christian way of life. Satan hates that consistency. He hates practice. So that's why we keep doing it, right? We want to be good. And, of course, we want to be, you know, able, have the pattern here that we're seeing in this verse to be able. You can't do that being a once-a-week Christian. You can't do it. And I realize I'm talking to the choir here. Everyone here, I know, is more dedicated and focused than a lot of people that I know. But at the same time, we can't do it once a week is all I mean. All I want to tell you. Because what happens is you don't have those patterns, you don't have the consistency, and that one day a week is not going to carry you the rest of the week. It's impossible. So, and even if it's 10 minutes a day, I always try to encourage people, you know, start small. Start small. You know, I realize we don't have the attention span right off the bat to take in 30, 45 minutes, an hour, right? Start small, 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes. A lot of people do a devotional at the beginning of the day. You know, that's a start. I think that's a good thing. That devotionals are good as long as it has some little bit of meat to it, right? Not just a feel-me-good little thing. But if there's some spiritual growth in it, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's at least setting aside some time for God. A little time for God. See how important that is? Because you build on that. You build on that as you go through your life and you actually want more of that because you see the improvements, you see the positive things in your life and the changes in your thinking. So there's nothing wrong with starting that or keeping that and just building on top of that. So then we have, in the evil day, you will be able to resist in the evil day. This is, I think, where we left off, but think about the context of Ephesians. We have Ephesians 5:16 that says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Remember that one? You have things like Galatians 1:4, which all these prison epistles are written fairly close to each other, that says this present evil age. So all I'm telling you is no difference in Paul's day than it is in our day. We can say these exact same things today. No doubt about it. Making the most of your time, you're darn right. Because the days are evil. That's where we're at right now. So no difference. In other words, we can't take a day off. We can't take a day off. Not physically. I always have to remind you that. Well, Pastor said I can't take any vacation. This is referring to mentally. Mentally, can't take a day off. Where are you at in your head? Are you in Christian service or not? And that's why Paul's commanding believers right here to take up the full armor. We have to keep in mind that Paul is using military words, as we said, and he's relating that to the spiritual life, to the battle gear that we're about to go into of a Roman soldier. Now, Paul knew what that was all about, right? He was around them. He spent time in Caesar's household, remember? He was around the Praetorian Guard in Philippians, we saw that. And, of course, the Roman soldiers were all around him, right? He knew what they looked like. He knew how they acted. He knew their mentality, and he knew how effective they were. And he probably knew every piece of gear because he talked to them. He got real close to them. Remember, he was in prison. So he probably got well acquainted with them. Satan probably preached the gospel to a few of them, remember? Because he was saying good things about them. So he knew exactly what they were like, and that's important because as he's going through these, he's relating these things to the spiritual sense and he knows the physical side. He knows how effective they are. He knows what their use is. And he's had many probably conversations about these things. So I think that's pretty neat that he has that much exposure to these things. So the fact that we have a command here in the context of military words reminded me that, you know, carrying out a military order is just mandatory. You know, it's not like when you tell someone to do something and they ask why or they question or they, you know, the list can go on and on. A military command, especially from a senior officer, is just a command. You don't question it, unless it's, you know, something completely, totally crazy, but it's not usually. It's not. It never is because it's someone that's command in charge over you. And so you have to trust them and you have to trust their authority. And part of that means we have to have the humility to listen to that authority. Or what happens? Well, in the military sense, there's always repercussions. You get written up. You get different kinds of behavior. You get discipline. You get consigned to the ship. You have to stay on the ship. Or however it is in the Army, I'm not sure. Brig, go to the brig. And eventually, you know, you get kicked out. You get kicked out. If they've had enough of you, you know, there's always a problem, not listening, not you can't pay attention, you don't follow orders. Well, eventually kick you out, and then you have something on your record that says, you know, there's a problem. And you don't want that. So Paul's seen how the system works in the Roman soldiers, and he's relating all this to us, and we have a command here to take up. That's mandatory. There's no doubt about that, that is coming from our senior, highest ranking officer, God himself, right? That's the command. And the repercussions can sometimes, I think, cost people their lives. You know, we have orders to do something in a certain way, to clean something in a certain way, to do, and we always question as young people in the military, why do we have to do it this way? You know, why can't we could just do this and it'd be so much faster? Well, it's probably because someone got their hand cut off because they did it that way, and then they changed the rules because of that. But you know, they don't explain that to you. But they don't have to explain that to you. That's the whole authority and humility rank structure, how it's supposed to work. They don't have to explain everything as to why we do. It's nice to have, right? But it's not required. It's definitely not required. And so, in this case, this can cost us, I think, physical and spiritual damage to ourselves. When we go on the battlefield, we're not prepared, we're not following the guidelines, it can cost us our life. You know, whether it be temporal or whether it be permanent. Eventually, God will take us out. If we're not fighting, if we keep showing up to the battlefield with no shoes on, and we can't do our job, he's eventually going to pull. I know it's a funny concept, right? You think of a soldier running out there with no shoes on. That would hurt. Actually, we are going to talk about shoes today, because I think we're going to get into the Roman boots. Everybody thought they were sandals, didn't you? Actually, boots, open-toed boots, and they were very effective. They didn't just design these things just to, you know, okay, let's just strap some leather around our feet and go. Those things are awesome. Anyways, now we're to, and having done everything to stand firm. That's where we are to now, and here is the conjunction and, which is showing addition, right? It's addition to what just came before. And this is what we did. If we've done all this, if we've taken up the full armor of God, guess what? What else is there left to do? That's why it's saying, having done everything to stand firm. So that you may be able, right? Remember, that's our word, dunamai. To have power. So if we do it God's way, in His power, then we have the and. It's showing us a concluding fact that means you have done everything possible to stand. Everything possible. You've done it all. And then you ask yourself, well, wasn't God responsible? Yes, He was. He was definitely responsible. And that's the point, and it's a very important point, but you've still done your part, and you've done everything you can do that's possible. Why? Because God has been doing it for you. Does that make sense? We can't cover all the ground. We can't think about all the mistakes, everything we're supposed to bring, everything we're supposed to say. The people we're going to be exposed to. We can't cover everything, but God can. And when we go into battle, into warfare with His equipment, guess what? We don't have to regret anything. That's a good place to be, Because we all know that we look back sometimes and we say, well, I wish I would have done this right. I wish I would have done this one way or this another way. One of the shortest promises we all know, it was brought to my mind, the battle is the Lord's. Right? It kind of applies here, and it just came to my mind. And what's funny, it's not even the whole verse. It's part of a verse, right? And I just want to read it to you. I actually want to read the verse behind it too. And then we'll read this verse. Here it is. Oh, did I leave you behind on that one? I'm sorry. Here it is. 1 Samuel 17:46. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Okay? Now you kind of clued in? David. Here we are, David. So just notice a few things. Notice who's responsible for the deliverance. It says, this day the Lord will deliver you up. David isn't saying, I will deliver you up. That's the normal, the natural human thing to say, right? He's saying the Lord will deliver you up. He's talking to his enemy at this point. But look, David still has a role to play, doesn't he? He does. He's got a very important role to play because the deliverance is happening, look at the verse, into his hands. Into my hands, he says. And then he says, I will strike you down and remove your head. David's doing this physically. I will give the dead bodies. So why, you got to ask, why such drastic measures here? You know, you would think that would just take the slingshot and he'd walk away. Okay, game over, right? Or the sling, right? So then it says here, he gives the reason. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's why. That's why it's so drastic. You know, can you imagine seeing all these things happen? It probably all happened in a few seconds, right? Less than a minute for sure. From when he got hit, got his head cut off. It's a pretty cool, pretty fast thing. So this is a spiritual picture and a physical coming together to show us the complete and total reliance on God. Right here. This is spiritual warfare, but this is also a physical battle. But it just goes to show you that they have to come together. Just because we're not physically fighting out there, you're physically talking. You're physically around people, and there's battles, there's warfares in the mind. There's things that we have to say, there's things that we have to do, there's things that we have to cover, and there's just like this verse. So these things are coming together in this verse, and it's showing us what? A complete and total reliance on God so that he can use us, or David in this case, to accomplish his work. This is God's work. This is God's work. And you know it's God's work. We've all read the story. Which includes what? Winning spiritual and physical battles as we see here. God's in the business of winning. All this to say was, what does it say? This was to the glory of God, not to David. And he was spiritually mature enough to know that nothing he was capable of would save or win the fight, would save him or win the fight. That's where he was. And he knew that, and he announced it right from the get-go, is what he did. And then look what he does in the next verse. He actually relates the physical fight to the priority in the spiritual life in verse 47. He actually already did that in verse 46. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There it is. There's that little bitty section that we kind of pulled out, and we take it. Say, the battle is the Lord's. That's it. Right there. But no, look at a few things on here. The physical weapons are not even the focus. Isn't that funny? He just takes those and he throws them out. That's not even the point here. So what's the focus? He says that the battle is the Lord's. That's the focus. He said, the Lord is not delivered by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. I mean, you got to say, this is glory given where glory is due. Right here. That's what it's about. It's no different in your life. It's no different at all. Glory given where glory is due. Can God use us like this? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Will we allow Him to do that? That's up to you. David knew where he was mentally. He knew where he was physically. And he knew he was limited. And he knew who was in charge. If we can thoroughly understand those points, God will without a doubt use us like He used David. No doubt. So we see that example right here. And that's that full surrender to God by believing in His power and abilities. That's what we've been talking about. That's exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. Believing and using by totally trusting in God. So that's really the only time God, you can sit back and watch God work to accomplish things in our lives. We should look for opportunities to put God's power on display. That's exactly what David did. He had an opportunity, that open door for God to use him to put God's power on display in a situation. Notice we don't go into it like that all the time. We go into it like, I can do something. I can save the day. I can say the right thing. I can make this person think one way and I can change them. You know what? Wrong attitude. If we're going to let God do spectacular things like this in our lives, we want to have moments like this, you got to surrender. You have to let God just completely work the entire situation out. Have to. Put God's power on display. I mean, I think this is so important in the Christian life that if we, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but if we really want to be used, you know, there's so many people, why isn't God using me in great and fantastic ways in the ministry? This right here. Right here. How come God isn't giving me an opportunity to present the gospel? How come I'm never making a big impact like I want to do? Right here. We don't have the mindset that David had. That's why. If we want opportunities, the big time opportunities like this, you've got to have that spiritual growth with it. He can't put you in places where the glory goes to you and not to God, because then everything fails. And we all do that. We think we can do something. We think we've studied enough to make an impact. We think we've done all these things that requires our power. It doesn't require us. It requires God. It just requires you to say, okay, yes, please. Come in and do that. That's what David did here. So, and look at what we're talking about in our verse. Having done everything to stand firm. No difference. There's no difference in what David did and what our verse is saying that we can do, and then having done everything to stand firm. And this word is, you see it, it's kata ergazomai. It's an aorist middle participle, and it means to bring about a result by doing something, to achieve or to accomplish. Of course, you see the middle voice, you've got a part to play. Right? Got that part to play. By allowing or facilitating, we could say, God's work on your behalf. And that's why this word also means to achieve or to accomplish. God is the accomplisher in our lives. God is the accomplisher. We can't ever forget that. Not just having done some things, but having done everything. Everything. David can look back on this event right here and know for certain there was nothing out of place. There was nothing that went wrong. Everything went perfect. Whether it was what he said or what he did. That's where we want to be. When we want to be used by God and he actually does it in your life, there's no mistakes. There's no mistakes. There can't be. That's the only work that God wants us to have, right? It's actually his work. He's the one who's doing it. So God is perfect. And you look back on things that where we jumped in, guess what? It's not perfect. There's regrets. There's things I wish I would have done different. So as we move forward in the Christian life, we want to start transitioning from taking myself out of the equation and doing the bigger, the greater, the better missions, focus in God's plan for you. But we've got to move out of the way. We have to move ourselves out of the way. We're not as important as we think we are. God gave us the ability. God gave us the brains. And he wants you to use those. He wants you to use those. But at the same time, he's the one that's going to do it. He's the one that's going to empower you to do what you need to do. So with that being said, we'll come back and we'll continue to talk about this word and about right decisions. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the knowledge that is like no other because it's inspired. It's your word. It's God breathed, and there's nothing else like it. And we know that. And we also know that we got to this place. We are able to fight in such a way. This is all going back to Jesus Christ. And we realize that, we know that. This all has to do with our identity, our relationship that all started at the cross. We were separated from sin. We're born into sin with a separation in that relationship. You can't have anything to do with sin. And so you solve that problem by sending your perfect son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And how we can so easily apply that to our own imperfect lives. Your scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the moment that we are reconciled in that relationship to you. There is no more separation because the death of Christ on the cross is applied to us and that penalty is applied. And we're so thankful because we didn't do anything for it, but you gave it to us as a gift. It's a gift of God so that no man can boast. We thank you so much for those great works of Jesus Christ, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.